Fascinating.
And even more fascinating, they sport a retractable sex organ on their forehead.
Sport.
Yes.
Ladies.
Check it out on the forehead.
My dick precedes me. Like my reputation.
That's all right.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Not at all.
Hey, I guess it's a, you know, sit on my face means something different for those guys.
Yeah.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so I want to kick off with something I've, you know, been trying to get to for some time now.
Trying to get to this, and I cannot wait.
And this is something that we had a guest, Evan Kay, on the show a couple of episodes back. And he asked us offline, or off air.
Off mic.
About the situation, you know, the difference between Yeti, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and all this kind of stuff. So I did a little research on it.
That's interesting, yes. What is the difference?
So the difference is, a Sasquatch is a universally respected name for the primate-slash-person hybrid, and it is from a Native American dialect from the coastal Salish people. And the word is Sesquawk.
Sesquawk.
Which is cool. Yeah. Why don't we just say Sesquawk? In any case, it means wild man. Like, translation is wild man.
I'm going to say it from now on. The Sesquawk.
Sesquawk. People would be Sasquatch because that's not correct, actually. Yeah. They prefer Sesquawk. Now, these indigenous people, they inhabited the Fraser Valley in the Pacific Northwest, parts of Vancouver Island, British Columbia. And in that area, that's where there are the most Sasquatch or Sesquawk sightings.
Okay.
So that's what Sasquatch is. All right. The next one is Bigfoot. Now, I didn't know this, that Bigfoot and Sasquawk are different.
No!
They are not the same.
You're blowing my mind. I know. How can this be?
It's the most common shorthand for Sasquatch. The term Bigfoot came about in 1958.
Somebody couldn't say Sasquatch.
Somebody couldn't say Sasquatch. Gerald Crew, a Bluff Creek local in Del Norte County, was featured in the Humboldt Times for a cast he made of large footprints near his bulldozer. So this is a different part of the country.
Okay.
Right? Different kind of background for this. He took a cast of these things, and he showed it to people, and the locals began referring to it as Big, capital B, Foot, capital F, foot, two words.
Okay.
The Humboldt Times editor, Andrew Gonzoli, stylized it, put the two words together as Bigfoot. As one word, Bigfoot. And the term has earned considerable recognition, particularly because it was used by the Bigfoot Field Research Organization, which we've talked about before, BFRO. We've talked about BFRO. And they're a well-respected group of Bigfooters.
Yes.
They use Bigfoot as a verb, as a noun.
Yeah.
They live it. They love it. So that's Bigfoot. Yeti.
The Yeti. Oh, wait. So can you go back to the Sasquatch and the Bigfoot? What parts of the country?
So the Sasquatch is in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
And British Columbia.
Okay.
Bigfoot is more of an American West Coast thing, California. I don't know exactly where Del Norte, California is, but it's Humboldt. So it's much further to the south than the, you know, what I would consider to be Pacific Northwest area.
All right.
The Yeti is, although it's commonly associated with the Sasquatch, don't be fooled. It's entirely different. This comes from pre-Buddhist Eastern civilization and in the Himalayan region. This is what I remember from So the Yeti is from the Himalayan area. Unlike the Sasquatch, who is frequently spotted in warmer, mild climates, the Yeti is an Arctic creature.
Okay.
So the Yeti is the white one that we see. Usually described as more like a bear, less like an ape.
Okay.
Some indigenous people used to worship what we now know as the Yeti, and they called it a glacier being. That doesn't mean,
that they
thought this was some kind of an animal. So from the little bit of research, a glacier being, it's like a deity figure.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it's a man, ape man, or a hybrid or anything like that. It's just like a figure that they incorporated into their beliefs.
Okay.
All right? So that's Yeti. And Yeti...
So nobody was like out looking for it.
No, and Yeti can be positive. Like, a Yeti could be a magical beast. It could be friendly. It's something that can just coexist in the environment. It's not exactly going out and, like, tracking people down.
Yeah.
Which is what we think of. And that comes to the next one, which is the abominable snowman.
Yes.
So this term was coined in 1921 by Henry Newman. a contributor to an Indian English language newspaper. So he was a part of a, so he interviewed people who were in the British Mount Everest reconnaissance expedition. I don't know who those people are.
Okay.
Might cut that out. I'll say it again. British Mount Everest reconnaissance expedition, who saw large footprints in the snow. And then their guides, who I'm assuming were local people, told them the legend of something called the Mito Kangmi. And Kangmi translates to snowman. Mito translates to man bear. But when this guy who was British translated it, he did it poorly and it translated into filthy. And he didn't like that the translation was filthy, so he changed it to abominable.
You're kidding. Mm-hmm. So that's how abominable came out.
Yeah, that's abominable.
Okay.
One and the same with the Yeti. You're saying here. Abominable snowman is generally regarded as an illusory being of far eastern hemisphere, not interchangeable with Sasquatch. So on one hand or one paw or foot, mm-hmm. whatever, we have Sasquatch and Bigfoot. This is a North American.
Yeah, kind of, yes.
And then on the other hand, the eastern Himalayan pre-Buddhist culture, we have Yeti, which is also known as the abominable snowman.
Ah.
So that is the breakdown for anybody who was wondering how it
That's
goes.
That's fascinating.
Pretty interesting,
I
right?
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, so Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti, and abominable snowman.
Yeah. I keep thinking of the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah.
Claymation series where they bring to life the abominable snowman for us.
I was scared by that as a child.
Yes, it was very scary until they took out the teeth. No, they took him out.
Yeah.
And then he became nice.
Then he was nice because he was defanged.
Yeah.
Literally. So there you go, people. Yeah, no need to wonder anymore about that. But you put that to rest.
See, we do these services for you.
Yeah, you're coming for the news.
Yes. All right. So I have barnyard news.
All right. So barnyard news is a segment where we report on animals that are in the barnyard. Some are not in the barnyard.
Yeah. This is not in the barnyard.
Okay.
This is a ghost shark.
Nice.
And it was caught on camera for the first time.
Can I tell you how I saw something about that but didn't have time to look at it? So
please enlighten me.
Is it creepy?
Look at the video because...
Ghost shark.
The ghost shark. This is the first footage of... It's a pointy-nosed blue chimera found off California.
Wow.
This odd animal was thought to live only in the southern hemisphere, but now it's mm-hmm. found off...
He's like, I'll do what I want. I don't care about your hemispheres.
It looks like... It is a patchwork shark.
It's Franken shark?
It looks like a Franken shark.
They're
stitching. It looks like stitching.
Really?
Yeah, it's really something else. It's very interesting. So look at the video of it.
Who got the video? How did it happen?
Unlike most well-known sharks, this shark does not have rows of ragged teeth, but instead they munch upon their prey, mollusks, worms, and other bottom dwellers.
I like that.
And I do that because I don't have teeth. Yeah. I just munch.
They gum it.
Yes, with mineralized tooth plates.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so they kind of grind it back and forth? They're masticating it, I guess.
Yes.
Fascinating.
And even more fascinating... They sport a retractable sex organ on their forehead.
Sport?
Yes.
Ladies.
Check it out on the forehead.
My dick precedes me. Like my reputation.
That's all right.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Not at all.
Hey, I guess it's sit on my face means something different for those guys.
Yeah.
Is it a Franken shark?
Yeah, it looks like a Franken shark. It's called a ghost shark.
Okay.
And look at the video.
Is the video good or is it like
it's
a Sasquatch video?
No.
Okay.
No, it's pretty good.
Sometimes I love like water, creatures. I'm fascinated by stuff. I feel like they're quote unquote discovering new things all the time. It's really interesting, but it's always a letdown when you see the video like, man, I can't see anything.
No, you can
this
see it
good.
Pretty well. And it just looks like a
ghost shark,
like the Tim Burton, like the Nightmare Before Christmas, those kind of like creatures.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
That's what it was evocative to me in that way.
Huh. That's what you got from ghost shark.
Yes.
That was the work he presented.
Yes.
Or she. So I have something here, the Consumer Electronics Show this year. I've always wanted to go. It's in Las Vegas, but because it's at the beginning of January, it just never really works out.
Like, come on.
So these are a couple of, now keep in mind the consumer aspect of it is what makes it so weird
mm-hmm.
because this is stuff that they're expecting, Joe and Jane public to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some things that I picked up that I thought were interesting that the Consumer Electronics Show. There's one called Spartan Boxer Briefs.
Boxer Briefs.
It just looks like boxer briefs, but it's a special undergarment that features anti-radiation technology that aims to block wireless radiation from cell phones and Wi-Fi signals with an electromagnetic shield for your Johnson.
Oh,
I didn't know this.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Why do you need this?
But first of all, that doesn't sound safe to me.
No.
Like, is there a problem? Like, because if there is a problem, we need to do something about that. Like, our guys, so it's basically a reverse microwave.
All right. So, would the thing, you know how people used to be upset about cell phones, saying it's going to give you brain cancer, mm-hmm. it's the radiation from the phone, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. So, guys are putting cell phones in their pockets?
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want the radiation to affect their
brain? What I'm saying is, if there's a device that you are concerned that's going to ruin your fertility, mm-hmm. you don't need that device.
Mm-hmm.
Underwear is not, you know what I mean? I feel like these underwear are not going to stop that.
Yeah.
Either you know, either there's a problem or there's not a problem.
Yeah,
sure. So the Spartan bars any wireless signal traveling on frequencies between 550 megahertz to 500 gigahertz, covering calls and texts. So your dick is not going to get a text from me ever again, sir.
Yeah.
Or a call.
Well, they should stop it with the dick pics.
Yeah.
And maybe they will be okay.
But I just feel like, you know, if you're worried about the cell phone being near your penis, then you should be worried about being around the cell phone, period, mm-hmm. is all I'm saying. Like, if you're concerned about it. So, or you can just put on these shorts, mm-hmm. whatever. So there's another one that, once again, it's an anti-pollution scarf. It looks like a snood, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, a circular scarf. You put it over your face,
mm-hmm.
and it filters out harmful pollutants.
Okay.
Which is fine, but once again, if you're in an area where it's so bad that you have to put up, like, a fashionable scarf, you don't need to be there. Like,
yeah,
you need to get out of there.
It's time to get out.
It's time to get out.
Yeah.
It also provides you, there's an app that it's connected to that provides you with real-time air quality updates.
Mm-hmm.
No. Like, the update's going to be like, don't breathe.
Yeah.
Run. There's another one called DigiSole.
DigiSole.
It's a shoe peripheral that is connected to a heated insole, and it's a cushioned radiator for the foot. You can control the temperature via a smartphone, so you can heat up your feet or heat up your feet
you
even more.
You see, that's the one I think everybody's going to like.
That makes sense
yeah.
to me. And you can adjust the temperature of each insole, so you can have a hot left foot, cool right foot.
Well, that
however
makes,
you want to do it.
However, whatever does your... That's great for a lot of people who work outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
That's
when
really
I was a kid,
a
I used
thing.
To always give my uncles the electronic socks. Mm-hmm. Like they had like double D batteries in them.
Oh, no.
Do you remember those kind of things? Because they were, you know, they were hunters.
Oh, okay.
So I would always give them these socks. And I just remember him being like, oh, thanks very much. So I'm like, I don't have this many fucking batteries. I don't want to be wearing a battery operated sock when I'm down in a blind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it seems like a good idea.
But no, it's not.
Another one, I thought this was kind of interesting because I think a lot of people already naturally have this. It's Orosound. It's a pair of earphones that gives you super power skills of selective hearing.
Of selective hearing.
So you can, mm-hmm. it has 8 microphones and a balanced speaker system that gives the wearer the ability to hear only what's in front of them or a little bit of background noise, stuff from the side, and that kind of stuff.
That's good for people with different hearing disorders. I have a friend.
But that's not what this is for.
Yeah.
That's different from, that's like, I know what you're talking about. This is not that.
No, just to elaborate, I have a friend who has a hearing issue where she can't really hear low pitched voices.
Mm-hmm.
So the higher pitched voice, and if you articulate, then she can hear. So she has a problem listening to men.
Jeez, and probably me. Is that a problem? Sorry, sir. I can't hear men.
Yeah.
Does she have to tell people that? If you're going to have to speak in a higher register,
yeah.
sir.
Yeah.
I want to hear you up here. I like that. Hey. No, but this is just to shut off, like, so I'm only want to hear what you're saying.
Okay.
I don't want to hear what Felicia's saying over here on the side.
I can shut her off.
Interesting.
You know, one of our friends, Carlo, we were at a small venue, and he put in earplugs because it was so loud, but it turned down the music, but he could still hear the conversations around him.
Oh, no!
So,
that's
but he
the worst.
No, but it was great. So
okay, so it worked for him.
And so we're like, Carlo, da-da-da, we just said, he's like, I know, I can hear everything. He's like,
I'm just not going deaf.
Yeah.
My thing is, I wish, because I take the subway a lot, and there are always a couple of jackasses on there whose cell phones work.
Mm.
And then we have to hear them. I wish I could just have headphones that would like be like, the lady in the red sweater
mm-hmm.
who's talking loud. Turn her off.
Yeah.
That's the kind of selective hearing I want.
Yeah.
And then the last thing was, and this was weird, from Invoxia. It basically, it's a stand that turns an iPhone or any kind of a smartphone into a traditional landline. So it can connect a smartphone to the base and receive and retrieve the contacts. Has a built-in speaker. But best of all, you can make calls from the landline number using your smartphone.
Whoa.
Weird.
That is weird. Why don't you just use a landline
phone? I have no idea. I don't understand how it works.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's taking something that it's taking an old ass phone and putting a new phone on it so that you can use the old phone through the new phone. Yeah. This is not how technology works for me.
No, you guys.
I'm confused by this one. Again, though, like I said at the beginning, it's the consumer electronic show. Okay. So this is gadgetry that they're trying to sell to you and to me.
Okay.
Good luck.
Got it.
All right, what do you have?
I got the four R's. To all that was 40th Street. Hashtag Bump Life NYC.
All right. I have advice on advice.
All right. Advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon that advice by giving our advice on a hence advice on advice.
Yes, here we go. All right. Dear Miss Manners, how is a combination of cake and ice cream to be served?
Excuse me?
On a dessert plate or in a bowl? How is it eaten? Fork or spoon? Is it ever proper to eat from a plate with a spoon?
This is like pure etiquette, you know? Okay.
Well, somebody who has time to talk, ask this question and can't figure it out.
Here's the thing. This is what the hiking method. We get a lot of cake. We get a lot of ice cream. We try all these combinations.
Yeah. And then when
multiple times.
Yes. And then when you're done, just tilt the whole thing into your mouth.
Yeah. And then we make a determination on what worked and what did not work.
Okay. Gentle reader.
Okay.
Have you ever tried to eat ice cream with a fork?
It's okay.
You needn't.
What?
Contrary to what many people believe, Miss Manners assures you that etiquette is not out to trick you. With dessert being both textured and gooey and runny, both a spoon and a fork should be available.
Okay. I always thought when you served a cake or pie a la mode that this is how we do it where I'm from, the ice cream has to be hard enough that it can be manipulated with a fork.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. They said it should also be too much of a challenge to have a cake eaten from a bowl. The ice cream is properly placed on top of the cake, so any melting would be absorbed before getting to the plate.
Yeah.
So you've got to get working on that.
I'm going to go ahead and say, and you know, I'm from technically from the South. It's hot enough where I'm from. You have to have alcohol. You have to have ice cream that is low of enough of a butterfat content that it stays really hard and cold. We do not serve this in a bowl.
Yeah.
It's just too difficult. You're chasing it around.
Yeah.
Better yet, just go with an ice cream cake.
Yeah. There you go.
Everybody wins.
Yeah. And it's a spoon.
And it's a spoon. Well, I was going to say it's a fork, but it doesn't matter with an ice cream cake. All right. A spork. We should write her. Miss Manners, is a spork ever, you know, appropriate? She'd probably just be like, I'm throwing this away.
Yeah.
I can't even believe you wrote spork.
I know, but it was just like, wow, who is so, they must be so upset.
Well, they're having their first fancy children's party.
Okay.
For little Mortimer.
Okay. For Mortimer?
Yes. A little Mortimer. And
Mortimer
they don't,
the youth. It's not even junior.
The younger.
It's not the younger. It's Mortimer the youth.
And they want to make sure that no one is offended.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you have?
So I have something here. I don't know what I was looking for, but I came upon a website that is Swedish News in English.
Swedish News
Swedish News in English. And they had an entire section on things that have happened that are related to IKEA.
You're kidding.
So everything from murders to intrigue, like crime, adultery, you know, funny stuff, all about IKEA. I guess it's really important to them. So there's a problem, apparently, and IKEA had to put out a statement saying, please stop spending the night at our stores, teenagers.
Oh, you're kidding. This is happening?
Yes.
All right.
But in defense of teenagers, like, that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Spending the night in the store, come on. So stop staying the night at our stores, IKEA warns teenagers. This is how they do it in Sweden. In America, we'll lock all of you up for the rest of your lives if you even think about staying in the stores. Here, they're like, please stop. IKEA's bedroom furnitures are not supposed to host guests. Swedish furniture giant IKEA has warned teens not to follow a new trend, after two young girls were discovered having sneaked in, to having sneakily stayed in one of the stores overnight.
Okay.
Wandering through one or more of the elaborate bedroom displays at IKEA and dreaming of having a room back at home isn't uncommon, but to actually sleep there for the night is. Yet that's what two teenagers managed to do. So these two girls, I guess they went to IKEA late, you know, was late, about to close, stay in the bathroom,
yeah,
or just hid. I like the idea that maybe they hid as mannequins.
Yeah.
Because it's an 80s movie.
Yeah.
And then the lights go off. It says, on Saturday morning before opening, two IKEA employees at the store found the two girls, age 14, who had stayed the night in the shop. They were handed over to security, who then handed them over to the police, who then just handed them over to their parents and were like, you deal with it. Because that's the way you do
it. That's it. That's it.
We don't need to criminalize this. Yeah. Let the parents, you know, put them on, what is it, the grounding?
Yeah, yes. They need
whatever
to
they have to do. Force them to assemble IKEA furniture for 40 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. That would be the appropriate
that would be it, right?
Punishment. They didn't file a police report. IKEA had a good dialogue with the parents. IKEA, the company. Can you imagine it?
This is IKEA speaking.
This is IKEA. Are these the parents of these two girls? So IKEA had a good dialogue with the parents who appreciated the seriousness. I'm not a parent, but I would probably be like, I'm really angry at you, and then be laughing my butt off later on. Because it sounds like fun.
It sounds like fun, but the idea that they were able to spend the night somewhere, and nobody knew where they were.
You know what they did. What did we used to do? I'm at Katie's house.
I'm at Jaquetta's house.
Exactly. Okay. And there you go. Incredibly, this isn't the first time that someone has managed to stay in an IKEA store. In August, two Belgian comedians filmed a video of themselves, and it went viral on YouTube. And 1.7 million videos. So, in the last half of a year, apparently, a couple of people have done this. So, it's not an epidemic.
Okay.
It's like a couple of teens have done it here and there. And then the IKEA says, it wouldn't be much fun staying in our stores anyway. As the stores have
all the meatballs, and guess what?
They have the rooms.
And they have, like, other donuts and mm-hmm. muffins.
It's everything I'm you like, need everything. To live there.
I'm like, talking about the food. Well, I'm hungry.
You could eat it in the kitchen.
You can.
Whatever kitchen you want.
And then also you bring your boyfriend or girlfriend with you and get
have
busy.
A little fun. It says here, it won't be fun to stay in our stores because they have movement sensors, which don't work.
Yeah, clearly.
Like, really? They're saying that their movement sensors, and it says they can trigger an alarm,
mm-hmm.
but they don't.
They do not.
Because I'm sure those two girls weren't standing still the whole time.
Yeah.
They were running around like crazy.
Yeah.
Eating the, you know.
Yeah, two 14-year-olds, like,
ah. The sticky buns.
Yeah, the sticky buns.
Getting right. The ice cream. It sounds like fun.
All the Toblerones.
All the Linkleberries.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Things with umlauts. All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
All right, so Tales from the Campfire is a segment we do where we find tales on the internet of urban legends, of fantasy, myth,
murder, ghost stories,
the paranormal, everything. And we retell it here around the digital campfire. So,
yes, gather around.
Yes.
This was one I've been saving. This is from Grace
B. It's a chestnut. Thank you, Grace B.
She's a listener that has contacted us. And again, we've been hanging on to it.
Yeah, we like to beat these out.
Yes. So thank you, Grace. And she was talking about different female ghosts.
Wow.
And so one of them in the slew of ghosts is Dolly Madison.
Okay. Oh, I know Dolly Madison.
Yes. The wife of President James Madison, Dolly is often credited with transforming Washington, D.C. from swamp to a civilized destination to see and be seen.
Oh, yeah. I heard she liked to party.
Yes. She was known for her winsome spirit, vibrant parties.
And big tatas.
Yep. And for taking exceptional pride in how her taste shaped the interior design and landscape of the White House.
Huh.
She was the one who made it nice.
Who first made it nice. Okay.
Dolly is said to have continued the house's upkeep even after death.
Wow.
Legend has it, during Woodrow Wilson's presidency, his second wife, Edith.
She sounds like a barrel of laughs.
Edith dared to demand that the Rose Garden be ripped up.
Mm-hmm. Why? The Rose Garden is like one of the
Edith.
Most enduring symbols of the West.
Edith.
Okay. Yeah, Edith
is in town.
What does she want put
Edith
in?
Edith is like,
just turn it over, plow it.
Yeah. But every time a gardener drew near the place, Dolly would appear and shoo him away.
Wow.
It's like, I can't, ma'am. Yeah. Dolly's there.
Dolly's there.
And she's like, Dolly!
Really?
Yeah.
I'm being haunted by the ghost of someone who was actually interesting and fun.
Yeah, right?
And vivacious.
Yeah. Since her death in 1849, she's also been spotted rocking in a chair on the porch.
Oh, they're rocking out.
And she lived at the Cutts Madison House where she lived after her tenure as First Lady ended.
Huh.
I like Dolly Madison.
Wasn't she one of the ones that was accused of being a madam or something weird like that?
I don't know about that, but I
not that she was, but I think people said stuff about her. I feel like.
You know what? Any woman who does anything...
Who enjoys herself.
Or has a good time is, you know what, promiscuous and a whore and this. We all know this, right?
Yeah. Those are the women I like.
Yeah.
Those broads were
so
fun.
So anytime you hear a prostitute or something, you're like, sure, she probably was a good time. Just fun.
She was a good time.
She was had personality.
Like Warren G. Harding.
Yeah.
A good time. So I have a piece of advice here, speaking of a good time. From Mrs. Webb. We haven't had Mrs. Webb for a while.
Mrs. Webb, oh.
This is W-E-B.
Yeah.
You know, Mrs. Webb. Dear Mrs. Webb, I work for an adult phone service.
Yeah.
So immediately I read that and I was like, I need a time machine for this. Is that still happening?
I don't know.
I thought it was kind of passe.
If you want to talk to a live person, I'm sure that there's some
way. But isn't
it
all like Skype now? No?
No, because then that's more money, because you get to see the person.
So this is like the old school. If you still want to just pay $1.99
Yeah, you want to hear a woman, and you don't want to see what's going on, because you want to make up your own thing, like, your own fantasy.
Do you want to hear a woman? Hear a woman today. Hear a live, nude woman.
Yeah.
Barefoot. I work for an adult phone service. I met this guy on the phone line 5 years ago.
Oh.
So she's doing well. He is very much in love with my character. And then she puts in... parentheses, basically me. Basically not you, lady. The problem is, I don't look anything like the character.
Oh.
He's 31, I'm 50.
All right.
And separated from my second husband. He thinks I am younger and have never been married. How is your character you?
Yeah.
Your character's like a nubile 21-year-old woman with no kids, never been married. You are...
Or 50 with a husband.
50 with... No, two ex-husbands.
Oh, wow.
And... three grown children mm-hmm. and a grandson.
Wow. Okay.
I am in love with him. Do I tell him the truth and risk making him angry and lose my job?
Yes.
Or do I break things off and disappear? Like Kaiser Soze.
Okay.
He has never been in a serious relationship, and no matter how much I have tried to push him away, he keeps coming back. Well, yeah, I mean, he's paying $2 a minute or whatever. And this is fun.
Yeah.
Right? Now he's having a real, you know, affair online or on the phone.
On the...
No matter what happens, he's going to be hurt, but it's hard to tell someone that you have lied to them for 5 years. Capital E-L-H. What? Capital H-E-L-P. What's E-L-H? Elp. Elp.
Elp.
It's
British.
Like a British character.
Elp.
Yeah, Governor.
Hey, Governor.
Elp
me.
Elp. He's armless. Elp. All right. Help. With a hard age.
With a hard age. All right.
All right.
Come on. You got to tell the guy that this is a fantasy.
He knows it's a fantasy. He's paying for it. In 5 years, this woman is still 21. I don't know what she said he was. Okay. So, Mrs. Webb says, and this is bold, you have been taking this man's money for 5 years and providing him with a sexual fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
His reaction is not about you. It's about his fantasy of you. He doesn't really love you. Instead, he is in love with your lies.
Ooh.
People always get hurt when they don't live in reality. Okay, but those of us who live in reality, we get hurt too.
Yeah.
Mrs. Webb. I just like to throw that in there.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Both of you have been caught in a web of lies.
Ugh. My web.
You have both spun. Your lie is a story and his lie is a fantasy. Sad.
Oh,
snap.
Mrs. Webb.
Really? I know. It's like, come on. This woman is like just being, well, she's being honest here. But
yeah.
She, in your shoes, I would end the relationship with truth. It would do you both some good to face reality. Have you ever thought of a different line of work? Okay. First of all, I'm going to go on this line. Have you ever thought of a different line of work? This woman has had the same client for 5 years.
She's good at her job.
She is good at her job. This is not the only client.
Yeah.
5 years at $2.99 a minute. I upped the price.
Oh my God. Because prices go up every
year.
That's
hard to do stuff like that.
You do that all day long, talking about fantasies and making it
real for people. That's acting.
Yeah.
Right?
She's good.
Yeah, she's really good. So, what should she do? The weird thing here is that, like, I have a hard time believing that this guy must know that it's not the person he's talking to, right?
I hear a lot of men who go to visit strippers,
mm-hmm.
You know, they watch her dance and give her money, and she smiles and looks at them and everything.
And they don't think it's real. They think it's real.
They think it's real. They think, oh, yeah, she really likes me. A lot of guys do.
Really?
Yeah, they really do.
It's a job. Yeah. Do you think your waitress likes you? Do you think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know.
Do you think you're, I mean, I try to be friendly. I can only think of like hairdressers and manicurists, massage people that I get services from. Mm-hmm. But I don't expect anything more from them than just the kindness, you know, I would extend to anyone, and I expect that in return. And then we're professionals. Yes. It's a service. I don't think that, I've never had a relationship with someone like this mm-hmm. where I'm like, I'm in love with you. You give a pedicure. That's the, you know, like,
yeah, right.
You know, I want more.
Something. It means something. No, but this is.
But don't, I mean, isn't the stereotype of a phone sex person, like basically a woman in her 40s
yeah.
who has children, who's at home doing things?
Yeah. It right? is.
And that's, then wearing fluffy slippers and, you
and
know.
She's ironing at the
yeah,
same
she's
time.
Ironing and she's taking care of business at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no, a lot of guys feel like that this is
crazy.
A real thing, like the fantasy kind of overtakes. This guy, yeah, he may think that it really is the way
and
it is.
And where is it going to go? Where does it go from phone sex? Like, is there any evidence that a phone sex fantasy can materialize into something that's, like, real? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, my advice on this is, you know, keep charging them. Mm-hmm. Keep the fantasy going. I mean, you're an actor at this point, lady. Mm-hmm. Come up with find something in this role where you have to let this guy down.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not doing phone sex anymore.
Yes.
You know?
Or
maybe you've been found out.
She's heartbroken, so she has to call it off. Save his feelings.
Yeah. Come up with something. Act your way out of it, lady.
If you're really feeling guilty.
I mean,
about
you know how to create a solid fantasy like this for 5 years and you can't figure out an ending to the story?
Oh, no, but she can bring in another woman to it. Hey, you want a three-way?
And then get jealous?
And then just be like, I can't, I'm broken, I'm heartbroken. But these two now are getting along.
Oh, I like that.
Right. And so now.
Can she do both parts? Does she have that? The other woman maybe, let's say, has an accent. Maybe she's from Brazil.
Yeah. Could do that.
Could you work an accent into it? That's what we say. We say just keep going with the fantasy. Add more characters. Make it extremely complicated and hard for you to get out of this.
Yeah.
We want a scene.
Yes.
We want a beginning, a middle, and an end to this. Yeah. So, interesting. I don't like that she said sad. It's not sad.
It's not sad. That was Mrs. Webb. You
know
Mrs. Webb.
Yeah, we
like
know
that.
Mrs. Webb is very unforgiving. Look, someone is looking for companionship. Someone is providing it.
Yeah.
You know, they got too deep into it. It'll be okay. Boo.
Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4 ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Okay, what do you have?
Let's see. I have this article. It just caught my eye. Mm-hmm. Anybody can be more interesting.
Really? I beg to differ.
Yeah. What does it mean to be interesting? Being interested is one's ability to positively stimulate another person to make oneself more attractive and thought-provoking.
Really? I didn't know all that.
Yes.
To make oneself more attractive.
Yeah, so that's a very important characteristic, as it is the foundation for friendship and love.
Hmm.
I don't know.
In my mind, interesting can be a negative thing. Like, there are some things I have a morbid interest in.
Yeah.
A lot of things, actually.
Yes.
That
yeah,
I'm drawn
it's not
to.
About friendship and love, yeah.
Like, you know, people who read about, I don't know, like the Nazis or whatever, for example. Like, people are really interested in that kind of history. It's not because they love them, hopefully. It's a weird fascination.
Mm-hmm. Being an interesting person is not hereditary, but something that is learned in practice.
Mm.
It's a characteristic.
Some people, I've met entire families, I'm like, Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Not one interesting one. Oh. The dog is boring me.
Oh,
I got to get out of here.
You have to regularly work on and develop through experience. It is developed through being who you are and getting in touch with something that's inside of you.
Right. Oh, really? Excuse me? How deep is this going to go?
Barbara Streisand says, a human being is only interested if he is in contact with himself. I learned you have to trust yourself, be who you are, and do what you ought to do the way you ought to do it.
That's being a megalomaniac.
Yeah.
Who has a lot of talent.
Yes. So it takes time and effort, and they have 7 strategies.
Okay.
We can go through.
Finally, something I can do.
All right, number one.
Number one.
Loosen up and be natural.
No, people don't like me. That's one thing I've learned. The real authentic self is sometimes your most horrifying self that no one likes.
That's true.
Don't put that out there. Don't take that to the interview.
Yeah, one reason many people fail to become interesting, stimulating people is
because they suck.
They worry too much about small things.
Like their personality.
Natural.
Yeah. They worry about their personality and how people will accept them.
Try loosening up and taking life one day at a time.
Take an improv class.
Yeah.
That works for stodgy people.
Don't get tense over small things and always try to remain calm. That's not interesting.
No, that's not interesting at all. That's boring.
I want to see you blow up.
Yeah. I want to see it.
I want a tantrum.
I want to see crazy. Angry Bird style.
Yeah. Number two, be positive and optimistic. Interesting people.
Oh, that bores the crap out of me.
Interesting people are happy, optimistic people. This is one of the reasons we find them so interesting.
Really?
No, it's not.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. I have never been positive or optimistic on stage, and yet people look.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Nobody wants to be around negative, unhappy person.
Well, I do.
I don't know. I do.
I don't mind. They're all right.
Yeah.
Some of them have good hair.
Yeah, because unconsciously we want to know why they're so happy. That's being, I mean, being around happy people.
No, I don't want to know why. I don't give a shit. It's like, what? Sometimes I'm like, what the fuck is he smiling about?
Yeah.
That's,
it's like, get away
you know?
From me.
Yeah, what are you laughing about? Oh, I'm out of here.
Okay. Number three, be open to excitement.
Huh?
And the reason why most people aren't interested is because they're reserved. It's like, no, you just have some kind of like ass.
Yeah. Some people just like to be aloof.
Yeah.
You know? I think what they're saying there, I mean, I had a roommate at which was so boring.
Yeah.
That I actually moved out of the room one weekend when she wasn't there. Because I was just like, I can't. I'd never been around someone that boring before. And I was like, I couldn't deal with it. And she was a very nice person. Mm-hmm. And she seemed quite well adjusted and happy. But I was just like, I can't do this.
You need someone...
People don't want to come to my room.
Yeah, you need to be a little vibrant.
Yes.
Number four, expand your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
People who are boring and dull normally possess very small comfort zones. Those are the people, I don't want to go here. I don't
oh, yeah.
Go there.
Then don't. And get away from me.
Yeah. Ugh. What do you want to do? I don't know.
No, nothing. They can't be anywhere. They can't do anything.
Yeah, what do you want to do? I don't know. How about we do this? No.
Yeah.
We do this? No.
Those people get left behind quickly.
They're scared to try new things and live their entire lives never achieving their potential.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe that is their potential.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Not everyone has great potential.
It's true.
I've been a teacher.
So ways to expand your comfort zone is join a class about something you've never done.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. Take a risk.
Participate in a sport you haven't planned. Try things you might not be good at.
Okay.
And do them in public.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, this is okay for you and for me because, you know, obviously as people who've done improv and comedy, we don't really care how we come across.
You know what? We burnt off caring.
Yes, it's
like
done.
We got on caring.
Yeah.
And then realized you can't, you just have to. You have to be ready to be, like, make an ass of yourself.
Yeah, you do. You do. I mean, I've even, you know, I'm not a dancer, but I've done burlesque. I don't care anymore. It's obvious. When you go out there dressed like Harriet Tubman with a gun and a fan.
Yeah. That's
and sequins, you don't care.
You're good. You're
but the fun. Thing is, like, you can't care about that kind of stuff. Who cares?
Five, smile and laugh all the time.
That's, what were you, maniacal? Bring a white cat with you. Wear gloves.
Yeah.
And then pet the cat. Freak everybody out.
Interesting people are able to grab your attention. And nothing in the world grabs a person's attention more than laughter and happiness.
No. Yeah.
Try to smile and laugh more.
What are you trying to keep other women away from you if you're a woman?
Yeah.
Everyone likes a nice Julia Roberts laugh.
Oh, yeah. Right?
That
yeah.
draws people right to you.
That big open mouth,
mm-hmm.
toothy laugh.
Yeah.
From the solar plexus.
Yep, yep. And then we take out your bridle. Have a few chuckles.
Okay, number six, challenge yourself. The only way you can bring change and growth into our lives is by challenging your habits and behaviors.
Okay.
Push yourself to the limits.
Jeez, oh, God. This sounds like a Rocky.
It's like an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Smile and laugh.
Am a real American.
Yes. Number seven, be yourself. You can't pretend to be interesting. Be
they just told, they just, okay, what was the first one again? Because I feel like the first one was...
The first one was loosen up and be natural.
Okay,
be
but
positive.
Okay,
be
that's
open.
Not you though. Now they're telling me to be myself.
Yeah,
I'm boring.
Yeah,
why can't anyone just enjoy that? Yeah, That's a anyway, tough one.
I don't.
You and I don't really hang around boring people because it's just not going to work.
No.
But yeah, I've had some friends who either partner is extremely boring or they're hanging out with a crowd of people that's really boring. I'm just like, how do you do it? How do you do it?
I don't know how they do it. Yeah, all of the people that we know,
it's pretty lively folk. And to the point where I don't like to have too many of them together because we'll probably get kicked out of a place.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fairly rowdy. I don't think we know anyone who doesn't have an opinion about everything that's happening, right? So, I don't know. The boring people? I think I remember it more from school because that's when you can't get away from those people. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always, like, one girl in the class who wears Keds or whatever, always has her period. It's Pam from The Office.
Yeah.
And you can't, no matter what you do, you always find that you have to, like, be around her for some reason.
And she has to hold, like, she has long sleeves and she holds the cuff she in holds her hands. She holds the things like, together. I'm so cold.
She's always cold. She can't do anything. And she covers her mouth a lot. You know, like these kind of, she eats like a sad little lunch.
Yeah.
And these kind of people. But once you get out of school, you're like, I never have to be around people like this ever again. Yeah. So I don't know. I've kind of lost the technique for hanging around the boring folk.
Yeah. I had drifted away from people who were kind of like that. And then it's like, they're like, why, you're not my friend anymore. And I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. You're boring the shit out of me. That's, you know, it's interesting because it's a good thing that, when you're younger, you have more, you don't realize that you can be honest with people, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I were as honest with people when I was younger as I am now, I don't know, I'd probably have just a fist mark on my face, like permanently.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and when you're younger, you find ways to get out of it, I guess. Because I don't remember ever insulting those women, but I just remember being like, ugh,
yeah,
I can't deal with you.
Yeah, I think that the interesting people have their own opinions, and then they're going to voice them and say yes and no.
And you don't have to agree. Some of the most interesting people I know, I don't agree with them on really anything. Yeah. But so what? They're still lively and fun to be around because, you know, they bring interest to the game.
Yes.
Huh. I have a little thing here.
Oh, what is this little thing?
Actually, it's quite a big thing. A man hooked a 3,000-pound great white shark off the coast of Hilton Head, South Carolina. 3,000 pounds.
That's amazing. Was he trying for it?
Well, it's weird, and I don't know how I feel about this. It's sport fishing. So there's a lot of sport fishing where you know, if you go out to get a marlin, you don't bring that in. Like, you hook it, you fight with it for hours and hours, and then you release it, which is weird to me, but fine. I guess it's better than killing the animal.
Yeah, and it's better than just, like, not doing anything.
Yeah. So this guy, his name is Captain Chip Michalov.
Oh, that's a nice name.
40, yeah. Ladies. As the owner and operator of a fishing charter company in Hilton Head called Outcast Sport Fishing. And he became, quote unquote, hooked on fishing. At the young age.
Boo hiss.
When his parents took him out fishing. So what he does now is he takes people out to do catch and release for, like, big, I guess, I don't know if they call it big game, but whatever the big fish are. He catches sharks. And he attaches an acoustic tag on them. So I guess there's some scientific
reason to see where they're tag the shark, its movements.
Yeah, but his business is catching these things.
Okay.
So then he releases them.
Good.
And the tag stays on the shark for 7 years. So I guess that's a fish you know you've caught before, but also, you know, for monitoring. Their receivers are placed at many locations up and down the East Coast. When a shark passes through it, the information is picked up and logged into a database for scientists. So he was out for the first time looking for great whites, and he hooked a 3,000-pound shark.
Whoa.
To me, and I love sharks, and I have an immense amount of respect for them. I feel like I'd probably pee my pants if I even saw something like that. Because that shark only means one thing, that it wants to eat you.
Yeah.
Right? And you've hooked it. But I feel like the shark is like, reel me in. Reel me right in.
Yes.
Like, get closer.
Feed me.
Yeah. Like, get right in here. So he caught and released one at noon. He hooked it 3,000 pounds. That was the largest one they'd ever seen. She immediately spit the hook out. And then they gave chase. And then later on, they hooked a smaller one.
Okay.
But it was, I would love to see, there didn't seem to be a video of this, but like, wow. You know what I mean? 3,000 pounds of a shark. And they just spit the hook out. Like, I wonder if sharks remember.
Wow.
I don't know.
I wonder. We have a lot to learn.
Yeah. I mean, we know about the brain size and what we think the brain can do, but we don't really even know what our own brains can do.
Yeah.
I heard a weird...
We don't know how they talk to each other.
We don't know what they do or if they can, you know, remember an incident like that.
And you were saying you heard...
Oh, I just heard a weird thing about it. The octopus has the largest brain in the marine world.
Really?
It's basically a brain and three hearts and a lot of muscular legs.
Wow.
So, you know, and that's cool. It is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's just an aside thing. But, yeah, 3,000-pound shark. Like, wow. That's something. Huge. 1.5 tons of a shark.
Of a shark with teeth.
And this is the great white.
Swimming power.
Jaws.
I like that.
All right, what do you have?
Well, I have beef.
Okay.
I have beef. This is celebrity beef.
Yeah,
actually.
It's a new segment. I think we should just call it celebrity beef because we're doing a lot of celebrity beef.
All right. This is Robert Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they had beef. Political beef.
Political beef.
Okay.
Okay, the bad blood between the two of America's political titans first began in 1960, after John F. Kennedy decided to choose former rival Lyndon Johnson as his presidential running mate.
Okay.
So Robert Kennedy was still fuming over Johnson's vicious primary campaign against his brother, and he personally confronted Johnson in a hotel room and urged him to turn down the offer.
Wow.
It's like, look, you're not going to be vice president. Johnson refused. And the two went on to cultivate a healthy resentment towards each other. Kennedy ridiculed Johnson behind closed doors and once was even given a Johnson voodoo doll as a joke gift.
That's not funny.
I know.
I'm like, don't you guys have something better to do? Yeah. Run the country.
And then Johnson called Kennedy a grandstanding little runt and vowed, I'll cut his throat if it's the last thing I'll do.
Are you kidding me? This puts into perspective what people say now in politics. People are much more genteel now than they used to be. And this is in the 60s.
Yeah. The feud only intensified when Johnson became president after John F. Kennedy's assassination.
I bet.
Yeah.
Now his brother's out of the way.
Yeah. Robert Kennedy was highly critical of Johnson's rush to be sworn into office and later claimed that his nemesis was taking credit for some of his brother's achievements.
Wow.
Yeah. Once in the U.S. Senate, Kennedy lambasted the president over the mounting quagmire in Vietnam. Johnson, meanwhile, went out of his way to neuter Robert F. Kennedy's bills and rebrand them as his own.
Wow.
Yes, the battle looked set to reach new heights in 1968 when Kennedy announced his intention to seek Democratic nomination, but Johnson abruptly withdrew from the race, and they remained at odds until Robert F. Kennedy's assassination a year later.
Wow.
Well, so that was a tough one.
Wow.
That was a
This kind of stuff always upsets me because it's one thing to bring beef to work.
Yeah.
But this is important work that affects all of us. You need to leave that beef at home.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's fine if you guys want to take jabs at each other. You know, fuck his wife. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. But, like, stealing someone's bill, making it difficult for
the work to get done.
For the work to get done is extremely petty.
Yeah.
But I guess this is the kind of beef. I mean, we both had beef and we talked about it. But our beef is low level. Who are we?
Yeah, you know,
we're two podcasters in a room.
Yeah.
These guys, though, have actual power.
Yeah. And when you have actual power and you can't control your temper and you can't take the high road.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. I've never had a lot of power, so I don't know how I would behave. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I would do anything like that.
Yeah.
We both paused for a second to think about it. Like,
we both thought about us.
Because I immediately thought of someone who I loathe. And if I were in a position to harm this person professionally, I probably would, even if I was the president of the United States. Because that person's still a dick.
Yeah.
And you know who you are.
Uh-oh.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. Let me try it again. Advice on Advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon that advice by giving our advice on a hence advice on advice.
Yes, here we go. All right.
So. I was just pausing because I thought the word frankly used to be in there. Is it frankly unqualified? Or frankly stinks? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Okay, whatever. Okay. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? We've been saying it for such a long time. I feel like something got missing, but whatever. It's still fresh.
It's unqualified. It stinks. No, we never said frankly.
Really?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Or maybe sometimes.
Personally, okay. I think it's... Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
I ruined it.
Dear Miss Manners.
Oh, shit. I forgot we were doing advice. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Cutting punchy. It's yeah. Getting, like,
all right. Dear Miss Manners.